Imagine a computer where choosing your artificial intelligence agent is a menu setting, like choosing a default browser. Claude, Codex, Copilot, or Grok, pick one, press a shortcut, and tell it to change the machine. The operating system supplies instructions for editing the desktop. It exposes its controls through commands. It can send a crash to the agent for diagnosis. And it launches that agent in a mode designed not to stop for routine permission prompts. That computer exists. It's called Omarchi Quattro, pronounced Omachi by its creator. And its promise is a personal computer that becomes malleable through language. The same design also determines how much authority a prompt can carry. This is the synthetic lens. I'm David Carver. Omarchi comes from David Heinemeier Hansson, better known as DHH, the creator of Ruby on Rails and co-founder of 37 Signals. Version 4, called Quattro, arrived on August 14th. By our September 2nd cutoff, the public repository had more than 37,000 stars, the launch video had passed 250,000 views, and a new nonprofit foundation reported $13 million in patron commitments. The attention invites a grand description. DHH calls Omarchi a malleable operating system for the age of agents. Some coverage has called it one of the first Linux distributions to go all in on artificial intelligence. Online, the sharper version quickly became the first AI operating system. That sharper version outruns the evidence. Microsoft introduced its Windows Copilot runtime in 2024. Academic researchers published a system called AIOS, short for LLM Agent Operating System, the same year. The phrase itself has been applied to agent frameworks, orchestration layers, and research prototypes that do very different things. DHH makes a narrower claim. He calls Omarchi the first distribution he has seen that goes all in on agents, on what he describes as a scale that matters. His wording limits the claim to commitment and visibility. Omarchi's actual construction is easier to describe. It's an MIT-licensed Linux distribution built on Arch Linux. The Hyperland Window Manager, its name sounds like Hyperland, manages the tiled windows. QuickShell supplies the desktop shell. Omarchi adds curated applications and terminal tools, then gives them a shared design and maintenance layer.
Critics often dismiss it as Arch with someone else's .dot files. That description fit the project's early shape more closely than Quattro. Version 4 moved Omarchi's own files into system packages and placed personal overrides in a separate configuration layer. It also created stable, release candidate, edge, and developer update channels, then rebuilt the visible desktop as one programmable shell. The result still depends on Arch, Hyperland, QuickShell, and hundreds of upstream projects. Every Linux distribution assembles work from elsewhere. The useful question is which parts Omarchi agrees to maintain and support when that assembly breaks. In Quattro, the bar, launcher, menus, notifications, and lock screen now live inside one QuickShell process. The same process handles authorization prompts and background services. A plugin system lets users replace or extend those pieces without modifying Omarchi's source. Updates take a snapshot before changing the system. Stable installations use an Omarchi mirror that runs about 1 month behind current Arch packages, giving maintainers time to catch incompatibilities. A bad update can be rolled back from the boot menu. New Quattro installations can be factory reset from their original baseline.
Those are conservative engineering choices around a rolling Linux base. They matter because the audience Omarchi wants includes people who admire Arch's speed and flexibility without wanting Arch's traditional apprenticeship. Ask people who have switched what they like, and the answers come back in almost the same words. Developers talk most about speed of movement, tiling that happens without being asked, searchable shortcuts, and workspaces that keep a terminal, the documentation, and a dashboard where they left them. The developer tooling, including Git and Docker, is already wired in. Several experienced Linux users say the strongest feature is time. They've already spent years building personal configurations,
Omarchy gives them somebody else's coherent decisions as a starting point, then lets them change only the parts they care about. Other users describe something less measurable and more important: delight. One recent convert compared it to discovering personal computers as a child. Another praised the ability to create a plugin and see the desktop become personal. Reviewers who had abandoned earlier versions returned to Quattro and found a much more credible daily driver.
Frustration starts after the easy installation. Omarchy still expects people to learn tiling windows, workspaces, command line tools, and a new map of keyboard combinations. Conventional title bars and close buttons disappear. NeoVim may be the editor waiting behind a settings menu. Someone moving from Windows or Mac OS can finish the installer in minutes and still feel lost at the desktop. Strong defaults also become friction when the user already has strong preferences. Personal .dot files can conflict. Browser and package manager choices can feel intrusive. Key bindings that are elegant to one person overwrite years of muscle memory for another. None of this is settled software yet. Public issues describe lock screen failures, shell crashes, mixed monitor problems, Bluetooth controls disappearing, and trouble with hybrid graphics or NVIDIA installation. One open upgrade report says Quattro preserved a backup of the user's shell configuration, but replaced the live file with defaults, making bar and plugin customizations appear to vanish until restored manually. A large issue tracker proves neither failure nor health by itself. At our cutoff, GitHub listed more than 1,200 open issues and more than 1,500 open pull requests. That volume reflects intense participation and a project moving faster than its maintainers can cleanly classify the queue. The agent layer adds the feature that separates Omarchy from a polished Linux theme. Major coding agent commands are pre-wired as small launchers and installed when first used. The user chooses a default agent. A global shortcut opens it in a dedicated terminal, and a command can launch the same agent directly into a task. Omarchy also gives the agent an experimental skill describing how to alter the window manager, shell bar, and themes. Its command line offers a common vocabulary for software updates and desktop changes. The shell can track subscription use for supported providers. When a process crashes, Omarchy can package the crash dump context and ask the default agent to investigate. This integration has clear limits. Omarchy doesn't embed a language model in the kernel or supply one resident intelligence spanning every application. Cloud agents retain their own accounts, prices, privacy terms, and technical limits. Local models through LM Studio or Olama are optional installations. The design is best understood as an agent-ready workstation. The operating system makes itself legible to external agents and reduces the distance between a request and a system change. That shorter distance changes the security model.
Version 4.0.2 still launches every supported agent in its own don't stop to ask setting. OpenCode uses auto mode, Copilot gets allow all, while Grok bypasses permission prompts. Claude and Codex now use their auto review modes. That last detail changed on August 25th when version 4.0.1 replaced their full permission bypass on the recommendation of Omarchy's new security team. Omarchy also includes a password list mode for sudo, the command that grants administrator rights intended for long agent jobs. It's optional and disabled by default. Turning it on requires confirmation after a blunt warning, and the default timer removes it after 15 minutes. During that window, the code grants the user's account unrestricted root access without another password prompt. Any process running as that user can use it. Pair that capability with an auto-approving agent, and the agent can cross from editing personal files into changing the entire system. Plugins are where another trust boundary gets interesting. Third-party plugins run arbitrary, unsandboxed code inside the long-lived desktop shell. The installer warns the user and blocks several dangerous ways of smuggling files or commands into a plugin. It still leaves the plugin's actual behavior for the user to assess. Elsewhere, the defaults are genuinely conservative. Full disk encryption is mandatory. The firewall blocks incoming traffic apart from local send, and SSH starts disabled. Software updates arrive with snapshots and rollback. ISO images and repository packages now have published signatures. One of those protections is recent, because the earlier default was dangerous. Until late August, Amarchi added the user's account to the Docker group during installation. That group can talk to a service running as root. A security researcher showed that any process running as the user could ask that service for a root container, with no password and no prompt. Amarchi removed the default on August 24th, 4 days before the researcher published the details. The timing matters again with package signing. Last October, a community contributor filed an issue showing that Amarchi's package repository was configured to accept unsigned packages. The issue closed in July. The project now publishes a signing key, and the 4.0.2 release requires signed packages from the Amarchi repository. That same release, published August 31st, documents a long set of security repairs. It fixed shell injection in installers and remote images loading inside shell text. It also hardened SSH, tightened browser policy, and closed several paths that led to more privilege than they should have. Shipping those repairs quickly is the right response. Their number also shows how much security debt a rapidly expanded desktop can expose. Several fixes remained open at our cutoff. One report found root-collected diagnostics being staged under predictable names in the shared temporary directory. Another found that a configuration refresh command could be given a path outside the intended config folder. Proposed patches covered those problems, update logs in temporary storage, and a passwordless sudo rule surviving a reboot. A September 1st issue reaches directly into the agent integration. On one reported system, Omarchi's Claude usage collector encountered more than 90,000 unreadable transcript files and logged an error for every file every 15 minutes. The log filled the user's runtime file system and crashed the compositor when a screenshot was attempted. A fix was still open when we checked. This was a reliability failure in an AI-specific desktop feature, not a report of remote compromise. There is a further complication in judging any of this. DHH told Lex Fridman that agents generated all of Quattro's shipped feature code. He reviewed the overall shape and the lines he considered critical, while leaving much of the interface and auxiliary code unread. He also has agents pre-review incoming contributions before he makes the decision to merge them.
AI authorship alone tells us little about code safety. Human authors produce vulnerabilities too. Omarchi's unusual development method puts more weight on tests, independent review, clear human ownership of critical boundaries, and the quality of repairs. It also sharpens an old open source argument. Supporters see thousands of contributions and a founder using automation to turn ambition into working software. Critics see generated code entering a foundational layer faster than maintainers can understand it. Both readings can point to the same repository. Some of the hostility has little to do with code. DHH's politics and public style are polarizing. Hyperland carries its own community history. Discussions about Omarchi often mix technical objections with Linux identity, founder politics, and resentment over whether an opinionated Arch configuration deserves millions of dollars and the word distribution. The Omicom Foundation changes the durability question. 12 founding patrons pledge $1 million each. They include Toby Lutke, Patrick Collison, Michael Dell, Jack Dorsey, Matthew Prince, Brendan Iribe, DHH, and Jason Fried. 4 distinguished patrons add $100,000 each. 3-year corporate commitments from 37 Signals and 1Password add $300,000 apiece.
The foundation says it will hold the trademarks, pay infrastructure costs, fund Omarchi, and support upstream work. The 3 upstream projects Omarchi leans on hardest, Hyperland, Quickshell, and Mies, pronounced Mies, already have multi-year sponsorships. That funding reduces the risk that Omarchi disappears when one maintainer gets bored. Mature governance, dependable releases, and accountable security will depend on how the money is used. Public details about staffing, budget, legal structure, and long-term decision rights remain limited. What makes Omarkey interesting is that the product and the argument arrive together. The people who like it describe a computer they can reshape in an afternoon. The people who worry about it are looking at that same afternoon and counting how few steps separate a typed request from a change to the whole machine. Omarkey's own answer is visible in its release notes. It shipped broad permission bypasses for agents, heard from a security team, and narrowed two of them within days. It shipped users with root equivalent Docker access, then made that access opt-in after a private disclosure. It accepted unsigned repository packages and now requires signatures. The project is learning in public, at speed, on machines people already depend on.
So the practical question for anyone considering it is whether they can find out afterward what an agent changed, which permissions it used, and how to put the machine back. Omarkey has built the machinery that makes rapid change possible. The next year of releases will show how well its records, reviews, and recovery tools keep that power understandable. I'm David Carver. This has been The Synthetic Lens.